Hey friends, thanks so much for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. We're so glad to have you with us. And today, Rick continues in his series called Transform. Together, we'll dive into God's Word and discover powerful principles that can truly change our lives from the inside out. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, and vocationally. You'll experience how God's truth brings real transformation to every part of your life. So right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Facing the Fears That Ruin Relationships.
There's a third fear we see in Adam and Eve. It's the fear of losing control. And my fear of losing control makes me demanding. My fear of losing control makes me demanding. You see, the result of Adam and Eve's sin is they lost control. They lost control of everything. They lost control of their future. They lost control of their destiny. They got kicked out of paradise. And now they're feeling totally out of control because they weren't controlling anything at this point. And in this situation, my fear of losing control makes me demanding. Now, let me just say it this way. The more out of control you feel, the more controlling you become. The more out of control I feel, the more controlling I become. I start bossing everybody around. I start making demands. I start protecting myself. I start defending, demanding, demeaning. I start dominating. The more insecure you are, the greater you have a need to get your way. If you're a very secure person, you don't need to have your way all the time. You don't. Doesn't bother you. You don't have to have your way all the time because you're secure. But if you're insecure, then you really have to have your way all the time. And you fight for your way, and you push for your way, and you control your way. The more out of control you feel, the more controlling you become. Now, this happens in verse 16, where God says to Eve, "You'll have yearnings for your husband." In other words, you're going to love your husband, even though you both messed up, but he will lord it over you. The Berkeley version says he will dominate you. And this is where the war of the sexes began. Right there. And all the misunderstanding between men and women, between husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, all the confusion, all the conflict, all the jockeying for power and position, all of the tit for tat, all of this for that, all of the you know, bargaining and who's going to be in control of this and who's going to run this. And that's all goes back to this situation here, sin. It's not a whole lot of fun to be in that kind of a relationship where you're not cooperating, but you're competing with each other. Would you like to move from competition to cooperation in your marriage, where you're not fighting each other, but you're fighting together against other things? You're on the same team. How do you do that? What is the antidote that transforms the relationship, that relieves these three fears, the fear of exposure and the fear of disapproval and the fear of losing control, that causes me to be distant and defensive and demanding in relationships? There's only one antidote to the fears. It is love. Love. Write this down. Learn to live in God's love. That is the antidote. I must learn to live in God's love. Now notice this verse, 1 John 4:18. First half of the verse says this. Wherever God's love is, wherever God's love is, there is no fear. Circle that. No fear. So you want to get rid of fear in a relationship? You got to get God's love there. You want to get rid of fear in your career? Get God's love there. You want to get God's fear out of your education or in your sports or whatever? You got to get God's love there. Wherever God's love is, there is no fear. Why? Because God's perfect love drives out all fear. You see, the opposite of fear is not faith. The opposite of fear is love. When you invite God's love into the front door of your heart, and last week we talked about your heart as the center of your emotions, when you ask God's love into your heart, the front door, fear goes out the back door, because fear and love can't live in the same house. When you let fear in the front door of your house, love goes out the back door. Whenever you are afraid, you are not being loving, because perfect love casts out all fear. Why is it that people will stand and watch a fire burning a building down, and everyone's afraid to go in, but somebody runs in, and it's the mother going in to get the baby? Why? Because fear is overcome by love. And the love is greater than the fear. So learn to live in God's love. You see, this is the result of fear. Notice the second part of that verse, 1 John 4:18b. It's the thought of punishment that makes a person fearful. What is the thought of punishment? You're thinking about the negative consequences. How many times have you been afraid to tell the truth because of the consequences? How many times have you been afraid to be yourself because of the consequences? How many times you've gone to a party or gone on a date and you didn't want to say what you really believed because of the fear of the consequences, the punishment you would receive? How many times, if you had a friend and you knew something was wrong in their life, and you tell them almost all the truth, but you save back the last 10%, which will make the difference? And you hold back, so many times we hold back the last 10% from somebody because we're afraid we're going to hurt their feelings and then they're going to reject us. And we're really doing it out of fear. We don't want to share the last 10%. It is the thought of punishment or negative consequences that makes a person fearful. So how do I learn to live in God's love? You do three things. And if you'll do these three things, it will transform your relationships. These things will transform. Really, there are three daily choices. Every day I surrender, every day I remember, and every day I offer. And if I do these three things, and if you will do these three things, you will transform your relationship. You may have been married 40 years. It'll still transform your relationship. Number one, how do I learn to live in God's love? Every day, surrender my heart to God. Every day, surrender my heart to God. Now, last week when we were talking about emotions, we said the heart is the symbol of the center of your emotions. And so what you do is in the morning when you wake up, you sit on the side of your bed and you say, God, before I even start this day, I surrender the center of my emotions to you. God, I want you to be Lord of my feelings, Lord of my emotions. God, I want you to control my mind and control my emotions, my mind and my heart. And I surrender it to you. And I want you to fill me with your love. Now, why? Because God is love. God is love. The closer you get to love, the more love will fill your heart. The further away you get from God, the more fear will fill your heart. So if you want to get rid of your fears, you got to get close to God. And if you get away from God, fear, anxiety, worry, insecurity, those are going to soar in your life. See, because perfect love casts out all fear. So if I get close to God, it casts out the worry, the insecurity, the anxiety, the fears, and all of those things. Job 11, verse 13 to 18 is a verse you might even want to memorize. It's a long verse, but it's a great verse. It says this: surrender your heart to God. Turn to Him in prayer. And give up your sins, even those you do in secret. Now, you could do that first thing in the morning as you sit on the side of your bed. Surrender your heart to God, turn to Him in prayer, and give up your sins, even those you do in secret. Then, notice the benefits. You won't be ashamed. Shame will be vanished from your life. You won't be ashamed. You will be confident. You will be fearless. Your troubles will go away like water beneath a bridge. And your darkest night will be brighter than noon. Then you'll rest safe and secure. You'll be filled with hope and you'll be emptied of worry. Hello, does anybody want that? I could have just done the whole message on that one. We could read that verse and go home. Now, there are three commands and eight promises in that verse. God says, you do this, then I'll do this. Every promise has a premise. Surrender your heart to God. Okay, God, I give you my emotions. I give you my heart. I do it every day. Turn to him in prayer. You talk to him in prayer. And you give up your sins. That's confession. Say, God, that was wrong. That was attitude was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. You get clean heart. Get a clean heart. Then he says, notice the eight benefits. No shame. You'll be confident. You'll be fearless. Your troubles will be like water under the bridge. The dark night you're going through is going to be brighter than noon. You'll be able to sleep well. You're going to rest safe. You'll rest secure. You'll sleep well. You're going to be filled with hope, and you're going to be emptied of worry. Wow. You ought to take that verse and write it on a little 3x5 card this week and put it on your vanity or put it on your car visor or put it where you see it, and you read it over and over and over. Do those three things and expect those eight benefits. The first thing I do to live in God's love is every day surrender my heart to God and look at the benefits. Number two, I not only surrender, I remember. Every day I remember the way God loves me. You have to pause every day and remember the way that God loves you. Because if you don't feel loved by God, you're certainly not going to want to offer love to anybody else. If you don't feel loved, you're not going to be loving. It is impossible to be loving and not feel loved. So I have to remind myself every day what God thinks about me. Not what the world thinks, not even what I think about me. What does God think about me? This is what removes my fears. Let me just give you four of the things that God thinks about you. Write these down. Number one, I'm completely accepted. I'm completely accepted. Now that's important because the deepest wounds in your life are those caused by rejection. And so we spend much of our lives trying to earn acceptance and avoid rejection from our parents and from our peers and from those we respect and from those we envy and even people we are total strangers. We want their respect. We want to be accepted. We don't want to be rejected, even by strangers. Now, there is a myth that says, if I could just be perfect, then everybody would like me. I hate to tell you this. Jesus was perfect. And a lot of people didn't like him. No matter who you are or what you do, somebody's not going to like it. Now, here's the good news. You don't need everybody's approval to be happy. The bad news is you're not going to get it anyway. The good news is, though, they're always worrying about their approval rating. Do I have enough friends on Facebook? And so the point here is you need to realize this issue of acceptance has already been settled by God. The Bible says in Titus 3:7, Jesus made us acceptable to God. Jesus, what he did on the cross, made us acceptable to God. And if God likes me and I like me, you don't like me, what's your problem? I am acceptable. I am completely accepted. Number two, I'm unconditionally loved. That's what God thinks about you. He loves you unconditionally. Now, there are a lot of things I can say about God's love, but two of the characteristics of God's love are it's consistent and it's unconditional. In other words, it's consistent. God is not fickle. God is not unpredictable. God doesn't say, I'm going to love you today, but tomorrow I've got a bad hair day. I had a kid tell me one time, he said, growing up, I never knew if my dad was going to hug me or slug me. Inconsistent parents produce insecure kids. And that's maybe where some of your insecurity came from. But God's love is consistent. It's not fickle. And not only that, it's unconditional. God doesn't say, I love you if. He doesn't say, I love you because. He says, I love you, period. I love you in spite of the fact. You can't make God stop loving you. God will never love you more than this very second, and God will love you, never love you any less than this second. No one will ever love you more than God does. And you never need to ask, will God love me today? You never need to ask that. Did I pray enough today? No, because God's love isn't based on what you do, but on who he is. And we always get into trouble when we doubt God's love. When we doubt God's love, we get fearful. Isaiah 54:10 says, "My love for you will never end," says the Lord. I am completely accepted and I'm unconditionally loved. Third thing God says about you is, I'm totally forgiven. So why am I carrying on shame? Why am I holding on to shame? I'm totally forgiven. Do you realize that before God even made you, before God made you, he already knew the worst things you'd ever do, and he still chose to love you. He knows the things you're going to do that you don't even know you're going to do. He already knows them, and he still has chosen to love you. And because of what Jesus did for you, dying for your sins on the cross, I'm totally forgiven. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Sins are wiped out. God doesn't rehearse it. He releases it. And then number four, what does God think of you? I'm considered extremely valuable. I'm considered extremely valuable by God. Let me ask you a very personal question. How much do you think you're worth? I'm not talking about your net worth. I'm talking about your self-worth. I'm not talking about your valuables. I'm talking about your own personal value. How much do you think you as a person are worth? And you may say, well, I'm not sure about that. Well, let me ask you another question. What is it that makes something valuable? There are two things that create value. Who owns it? Who owns it? Okay. Value depends on who owns it. And the second is what somebody's willing to pay for it. That's what determines the value. Who owns it and what somebody's willing to pay for it. In other words, value depends on who owns something. Would you agree that at an auction, a toothbrush owned by John Lennon would be more valuable than a toothbrush owned by Rick Warren? Yeah. Or a bed owned by a president would be more valuable than a bed that you owned. Who owns something often creates its value. The owner adds value to common things. Who do you belong to? Who owns you? God does. You're a child of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. And just like an oil sheik say, pay any price for that ransomed girl, she's a daughter of the king. Here's what the Bible says about you. You've been bought with a price, bought and paid for by Christ's death. See, value depends on somebody's willing to pay for it. How much is your house worth? Not as much as you think it is. Your house is worth whatever anybody is willing to pay for it. And if nobody's willing to pay your price, it isn't worth that. Sorry, hate to tell you that, but it's only as valuable as what somebody's willing to pay for it. But Jesus Christ paid for you with his life. That's how valuable you are. So how do I remember every day the way God loves me? I get up in the morning, I say, God, I just want to remind myself how much you love me. I'm completely accepted, and I'm unconditionally loved, and I'm totally forgiven, and I'm considered extremely valuable and capable. And you remind yourself of those things. That's a key to relationships. Then number three. Here's the third thing. I surrender, I remember, and then every day I offer. I offer that same love to others. The same love that God gives to me, the Bible says I am to offer to everybody else that I come in contact with. Every day I offer that same love to others. And here's what the Bible says. Look up here on the screen. John 13:34, Jesus said this, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. That's not an option. That's not a suggestion. If you're a follower of Christ, you must love everybody, whether you like them or not, in the same way that Christ loved you. That is, you are to accept them completely, you are to love them unconditionally, you are to forgive them totally, and you are to consider them extremely valuable. Jesus said, you are to love everybody else in the same way that I love you. Would that transform your relationships? Yes, it would. Look at the next verse. The Bible says in Romans 15, 7, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Circle the phrase just as. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. In other words, in the same way, just like Christ accepted you. What does that mean? Well, it means this. It means I must accept everybody else the way Jesus accepts me. I must love everybody else the way Jesus loves me. I must forgive everybody else the way Jesus forgives me. I must value everybody else the way Jesus values me. I read a book a while back called How to Make People Really Love You. I mean, no, it wasn't. It was How to Make People Really Feel Loved is what it was. And really, if I were to boil up the answer to that question, how do I make the people in my life really feel loved? The answer is the last verse on your outline. If you want to become a great lover, you must do these things, because this is what real love is. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, 7, love never stops being patient. Love never stops believing. Love never stops hoping. Love never gives up. Circle the four nevers. This is what real loves. See, this is how God loves you. God never stops being patient with you. God never stops believing in you. God never stops hoping for the best in your life. God never gives up on you. And that's what God expects you to do with everybody else. Now, let me explain that verse. Love never stops being patient. That means love extends grace. Love extends grace. You offer grace to people. Love never stops being patient. It extends grace. Love never stops believing. That means it expresses faith. It expresses faith. It never stops. I believe in you. I know we've had this tough time. I know we've had this failure. I know we've had this sin, this falling out, but I haven't stopped believing in you. Love extends grace and expresses faith. Number three, love expects the best. It never stops hoping. Are you expecting the best in your marriage, or have you settled for less than the best? Love extends grace, expresses faith, expects the best. It never stops hoping. And love endures the worst. It never gives up. You can throw everything at me, but I'm going to keep loving you. Love endures the worst. You needed this message today, and God has spoken to you, and you know it. And if you want to transform your relationships, then I'm going to invite you to follow me in a prayer. Let's bow our heads. Just say this in your mind. When I say it, you say, God, I agree with this. I'm me too. Dear God, I admit that I have made a mess in my relationships. They're complicated. They're broken. They're not the best. And I've often settled for less than the best, and they need transformation. And I'd like you to begin by changing me. Deliver me from these three fears that I've learned about today. I can see how they make me distant and defensive and even demanding. So today, and each day from now on, I want to surrender my heart to you. I'm doing this right now. I surrender my heart to you. Just say that. God, I surrender my heart to you. I want to learn to live my life in your love, filled with your love. Please replace my shame with your love. And when I'm afraid to let others see the real me, remind me of how you see me. And then you say this, thank you that you accept me completely. Say thank you that you love me unconditionally. Say thank you that you forgive me totally. Say thank you that you paid such a high price to save me. Now, dear God, help me to accept others just as you've accepted me. And help me to love others unconditionally just as you've loved me. And help me to forgive others totally, just as you've forgiven me. And help me to value others as much as you value me. Say, dear God, I want to be known as a loving person. I want to be a great lover. So help me to extend grace to the people around me. And help me to express faith in the people around me. And help me to expect the best in the people around me. And help me to endure the worst when it happens. I want to live my life in love. And I humbly ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
What if one simple habit could transform your life forever? Introducing 52 Verses to Transform Your Life, a powerful collection of Bible verses specially selected by Pastor Rick to equip you with wisdom, clarity, and purpose. Each verse will help inspire action, ignite growth, and align your life with God's plan. Whether you're stepping into a new season, overcoming challenges, or chasing big dreams, these cards will empower you to live boldly and intentionally. Start your journey of transformation today by requesting the 52 Verses to Transform Your Life scripture card set when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the Word of God to the world. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.